You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
CultureSafe's actually a private company owned by myself, so I founded it in February 2014 to deal pretty much exclusively with workplace bullying cases. So we're actually an employment consultancy, privately owned, privately funded. In fact, I fund it basically by winning cases against employers who have disadvantaged their employees and generally through workplace bullying.
Okay, and how often are you dealing with cases of employment?
Well, I do probably not less than 80 hours a week.
Wow.
And I employ people to deal with it. We currently have 100 cases across New Zealand, and just to be really clear, we only deal with the extremely bad ones. So generally where somebody has suffered serious psychological harm, more than likely been diagnosed with depression, anxiety or PTSD, and in recent months and years we've been getting cases referred to us by medical practitioners. People have actually attempted suicide. So we're talking the bottom of the cliff stuff is what we deal with on a daily basis, and that's 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's really significant. So how much does correspondence and influence does your organisation have on the Employment Relations Authority?
We've been to the two biggest workplace bullying cases in the last 2 years. So the case we won at Christchurch just recently, which is massively significant because it actually means that people, when they actually raise a bullying complaint, are actually raising a personal grievance. So that is massive because employers, through their lawyers, have been hiding behind this technicality as you didn't use the words personal grievance. So until you use those words, we're not going to hear any evidence further back than 90 days from when you actually use that language.
Right.
Until you call it a personal grievance. So the Employment Relations Act doesn't say you have to use the word personal grievance, so that's something that has the Employment Relations Authority has started to apply for no good reason, because it's not consistent with the Act. So the decision we got in Christchurch was, if a person has a complaint and they raise it with their employer and that doesn't get resolved, that's effectively a personal grievance.
I see.
So that's massive, massive. Yep.
And how much influence did your organisation have in making this new process start?
We took the case to the Employment Relations Authority and convinced the authority member to make that decision. So we had 100% influence on it, along with our clients. Our client, for example, has been off work since 2015 when she was bullied at work. She'd been working there for over 20 years. Bullied, told her they didn't do a decent investigation. She was told she had to go back and work for the bully. She couldn't. Diagnosed with PTSD and has been on a sickness benefit getting $212 a week ever since, and hasn't been able to have her case heard yet. But now with this decision, she will be able to have her case heard.
Right.
So significant, massive.
Yeah. How many cases do you expect will be facing the Employment Relations Authority since this change?
Well, we've got 30 that we have sitting in abeyance waiting for this decision to happen. So that's 30 that we can throw straight back at the authority now. Because what I didn't mention this morning is we've been losing cases because the authority hasn't allowed us to present evidence. And how can you win a case if they don't let you provide the evidence? So it's really big. We've got 30 that we've been basically waiting for this decision to happen, but we've got another 70 cases across the land.
Mm.
So in all those cases, it helps impact on those. And across the land, anybody that actually realises the significance of what we've done will know that a complaint they raised 6 months ago or a year ago is technically a grievance, and they can actually take that to the authority or somewhere better than the authority. To be honest, I'm not a fan of the authority because they can't deal with workplace bullying as a health and safety issue. So that's the next stage of what we want to change. We want to change it so workplace bullying is dealt with under the Act that actually covers it.
How much support will people who file personal grievances get during this new process?
Oh, well, they don't get support unless they... So in New Zealand, we're unique. We have no government agencies that will intervene to support somebody bullied, and we have no charitable organisations that will take cases on behalf of people that have been bullied. So CultureSafe, although a private company, has basically been acting as a charity and taking dozens and dozens of cases on a no-win, no-fee basis, relying totally on our ability to convince either at the authority or beforehand that the employer's at risk, and getting them to come to a settlement with our client that involves paying our fees. So we're totally reliant on being successful. And I've got more than a year's worth of income that I've spent on cases that I have an invoice for.
Wow.
So effectively running as a charity, and I probably earn less than anybody in the land or close to on an hourly rate, I would. But that's not why I'm doing it. So even though a private company, there's only one reason why I'm doing this, and this is because I know how dangerous workplace bullying is. I probably know more than anybody in New Zealand about it. I've done lots of research in UK, a lot in the UK, Australia, America, but I've also been an advocate for over 40 years, and I've supported hundreds, well, probably into the thousands by now, of people over the last 40-odd years. So really strong advocate, very passionate. Had a colleague who committed suicide because of bullying.
Wow.
That kind of motivates me a bit as well.
Yeah.
So it's just the most horrible thing, and the frustration is that there's nothing good about bullying. So it impacts negatively on the target. It negatively impacts their relationships with friends and family, negatively impacts people who witness it happen and are too afraid to stand up against the bully on their behalf. It, for the organisation, it's super dangerous in the sense that it means their ability to recruit and retain good staff is restricted, because who wants to work for an organisation if you're going to be bullied? They have... Organisations with a bullying culture have more absenteeism through sickness and other reasons, because people don't want to come to work because it's unsafe.
Mm.
And as a result of that, level of engagement of their staff is low and their production is low. So what we know is, and this is known worldwide, that bullying costs organisations millions of dollars. And it's kind of weird that New Zealand is second worst in the developed world for bullying, because it's super unproductive both for individuals and for organisations, and it's costing the New Zealand economy hundreds of millions of dollars annually. Mm.
The yep. magnitude of this problem is clearly cause for concern, especially for you personally. One out of five people in New Zealand workplaces are bullied. What kind of bullying are we talking about? Is it verbal? Is it psychological? Is it physical sometimes?
It tends not to be physical, because the minute it becomes physical, it's assault and police would be involved.
Mm.
So it tends to be mostly psychological, so very similar to domestic violence. In fact, they're direct relations, workplace bullying. So it's undermining. It's in some cases, for example, on a one-to-one basis, the bully, and 70% of the time, the bully is the manager, so in a position of power over the target. They will say things in a private setting, like they'll say, "You're useless. You're incompetent. Nobody likes you. In fact, everybody hates you." Things like that are really common, which is one of the reasons that I always tell people, if you can, if you're in a one-on-one situation with your bully, audio record it. Get your phone, put the recording on, audio record it. And you can actually do that legally, and most people don't know that.
Mm.
Because an audio of somebody bullying somebody is extremely powerful, but we seldom get them. So setting up to fail means I send you off to do a job, but I don't give you all the information. And then when you fail in your job, then I put you on some kind of a performance process. So there's a reason for bullying, and for whatever reason, the bully doesn't like somebody. And that's all it comes down to, and it might be the colour of their hair, it could be their religion, it could be a whole bunch of things. But for whatever reason it is, they just set about undermining, isolating the person. Isolation is probably the most harmful thing for people. So if you're isolated from your colleagues and you can't talk to them, then you really start to doubt yourself, because you're thinking, hang on, I'm told by my manager that nobody likes me, that I'm useless, and now people are avoiding me. And they do avoid targets of bullying because they don't want to be caught up in the flak. And when you've got a manager bullying, everybody knows it, because they know that, because generally the manager will have a history of bullying people out.
Yeah.
So people, the minute they see somebody targeted, will avoid them like the plague. So rather than stand up to the bully and say, we know what's going on here, we don't think that's okay, how about you treat Mary with respect? But people are afraid to do that. Where they do it, bullying pretty much stops straight away. So if bystanders stand up and do something, and particularly if more than one do, the bullying stops, because bullies are basically cowards. And so it is about undermining a person's confidence, which is why people end up committing suicide or attempting suicide, because they believe, because they've been undermined, they've been told they're useless, they've been put into a performance management process, whereas for the last 20 years they've actually been seen as a good performer or a high performer. So the minute a person believes that they're not performing well, that they're not doing a good job, their confidence goes, their self-esteem goes, and then they kind of plunge into a place where they start to doubt themselves, and then they get unwell.
Yeah.
So they start getting sick, and then they start thinking, what do? I can't afford to leave this job, because if I leave this job, how do I pay my mortgage? How do I eat? How do I survive? And that's why people become suicidal, because they go, I've got two options. I either leave and I have no income and I lose everything, or I stay and I become more and more unwell. And what we find in New Zealand is that the choice between if you're suffering psychological harm at work, nobody actually cares about you. And when I say nobody, I'm talking about there is nobody outside that will come in and intervene and support you. There's no organisation or charity you can go to that will help you. Whereas even in America, that's supposed to be really right-wing in a capitalist society, if you suffer psychological harm at work, you're entitled to workers' compensation. In New Zealand, you can't get ACC if you suffer psychological harm at work. So there is no other option but to resign. And generally, if you've been badly bullied, you'll find that people that are badly bullied present badly. So because they look and act like they're stressed. So they can't just go off to another job, even if there wasn't another job there, and present it in a way that will encourage any employer to employ them. So they get locked into a situation where it becomes hopeless for them, and that's why they just despair and don't know what to do. In New Zealand, there is really nowhere to go. There's no one to help, and by default, CultureSafe has picked up that mantle. So we have psychologists, we have members of mental health crisis teams that have somebody there that's attempted suicide, that send those people to us, because they know that we can actually sort out their issue around the bullying. We can negotiate an exit and compensation if that's necessary, but we do that in spite of the law not actually
providing sufficiently.
It doesn't. It's totally inadequate. So the Health and Safety at Work Act 2015 is an extremely powerful act, but can't take a bullying case to any jurisdiction and have it heard under that act.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.